The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
The next step is to get them to pay me like a fella.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, they're putting me on regular next week, but they're paying me less than they paid the man who used to run the forklift.
Oh, well, come on, Irene. After all, it's a well-known fact. Men are worth more than women.
Archie, have you been reading Playboy?
No, Irene, the Bible.
Bible?
The Bible. And in the Bible, it says, God made man his own image. He made women after, from a rib. Cheaper cut.
Archie! I'm doing the same work as a man, and if he was getting paid $6 an hour, why should I get $5.50?
Because, Irene, you're getting what? You're getting $5.50 an hour?
Archie, that's exactly what they're paying you.
What they're paying me?
There goes your rib theory.
And there goes the whole company, man.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Every week, go there, buy their soap. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. He's easily the best attorney I've ever had, ever. He's fast, smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Law Group specializes in commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the blog page. And we're also brought to you by Chez's memoir, that DeusExMalContent.com. You know, I'm realizing, I think I've recently played that Archie Bunker clip.
I don't remember it at all.
I don't know. I don't have a list, like a rotation list of what I play at the top of the show, so I have no idea.
I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah. I may have played it when Gene Stapleton died.
Okay.
But then again, I might have also played the gun control one. I don't know. I don't care. You'll forgive me anyway. Just in time for today's show, I was more than pleased to see this. We have a Ron Paul scandal.
Oh, no.
This is great.
We have a Ron Paul. So what exactly does that involve? I can only imagine.
This is from opensecrets.org, the Open Secrets blog, which is the great campaign finance website where you can look up, you know, who donates to whom. Good. There's a post here by Russ Choma, headline, Ron Paul campaign accused of trying to buy Iowa endorsements during the 2012 Iowa caucus.
Mm.
Ron Paul presidential campaign may have been involved with negotiations to offer financial compensation to an Iowa state senator in exchange for his endorsement and support in the 2012 Iowa caucuses, according to emails obtained by OpenSecrets.org.
That's all right, though. That's just, you know, that's the market at work. That's the free market.
It's the free market. That's exactly
right. Yeah, you can buy off, you know, you can buy off the support of politicians.
That's right. The negotiations appear to have involved several top Ron Paul 2012 officials, including Jesse Benton, who is the campaign's political director. Benton is married to Ron Paul's granddaughter and is currently managing Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's 2014 campaign.
Well, that explains a lot.
There you go. And in October 29th, 2011 email...
Which, as we know, is going just stellarly.
In an October 29th, 2011 email, a representative of Iowa State Senator Kent Sorensen, a Republican, asks the Paul campaign to provide Sorensen with $8,000 per month in salary for him, $5,000 per month in salary for a Sorensen ally, as well as $100,000 in contributions for a newly created PAC that Sorensen planned to use to support conservative candidates for Iowa state office. The email, which was allegedly written by Aaron Doerr, executive director of Iowa Gun Owners. Interesting.
Yeah, wow.
Says Sorensen would abandon his support for Michelle Bachmann's campaign, endorse Paul, campaign for him, and provide access to an email list of Iowans who support homeschooling. Bachmann had narrowly defeated Paul to win the Ames straw poll in August 2011, an early measure of support in the state. A top aide in the 2008 Ron Paul presidential bid, Dennis Fusaro, provided several emails to Open Secrets. According to the address fields in the emails, Fusaro was copied on the messages, which all date from late 2011. 5 days before the caucus in late 2011, Sorensen abruptly switched his support from Bachmann to Paul.
Wow, the plot thickens.
And the Bachmann campaign at the time charged that he had done so for money. So, Ron Paul's not going to get any support from Michelle Bachmann on this front.
Oh, well.
Well, I can't wait to see how this plays out. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Better campaign.
Yeah, but his supporters, his fanboys won't care.
No, they certainly will not.
Because you have to keep in mind the kind of people they are. And they're people who will automatically believe that despite the fact that Ron Paul has no say in politics whatsoever anymore,
yeah,
and has no say in anything, that this is some kind of smear campaign aimed at, you know, bringing him down because he's telling you the truth, man.
So we got a big show this week. We're going to talk about the Washington Post being purchased by Jeff Bezos from Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. We're going to, of course, we've got to talk about Glenn Greenwald's latest lie in this whole NSA story, which continues, by the way. And a new conspiracy theory out of that same group.
I haven't even seen it.
Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon for that one. Plus, this week in guns and a bunch of stuff, a bunch of wingnut stuff. We got Steve Stockman, Ted Yoho, and Rick Santorum also in the news this week. But let's, you know, I got to tell you, I want to clarify right now. We had to stop the show in the midst of that Ron Paul story. And I've done some clever editing to make it seem like it didn't happen. But, you know, I have Time Warner Cable. And everyone knows that Time Warner Cable just pretty much sucks. And so, you know, so I'm entirely thrown off.
Especially
now.
If you're a fan of Dexter, Ray Donovan, or anything on Showtime. I won't say CBS because there's nothing good on CBS. But
yeah, well, they've got this
thing. Baby.
They've got this conflict going on with CBS, which has been now, I guess, all of the CBS channels still blacked out.
Yeah, I get Stars and Encore now in place of it. Whatever.
It's a bunch of children at recess is what that is.
They are children at recess, but what Time Warner doesn't seem to realize is that they're going to take the blame. They will take the blame. It's, first of all, just from a psychological perspective, the one that pulls the shows off, the one that actually engages in the action – psychologically, that's the one that gets blamed. Mm-hmm. And in this specific case, you're talking about a very, very, very popular news network versus a very unpopular cable network.
That's right.
So, no, there's no way Time Warner comes out of this thing smelling like roses. Now, the problem is that in most markets, Time Warner is, if you want cable, that's what you get.
Yeah.
You know, Whoever runs the cable in that area, you're kind of stuck with that unless you go to satellite or Fios or whatever.
Yeah. See, now, that speaks to the heart of my issue with all of this, and including my technical glitches with Time Warner cutting my cable twice as we were trying to start this show. By the way, it makes it impossible to do a smooth running show if you have to stop every 2 seconds because your internet goes down. Because Chez is in Los Angeles, I'm in Hawaii, we're doing this via Skype, so we need the internet to be functional.
Yes.
And so, in addition to all of that, now, if this was cell phone reception, I could eventually get fed up and say, you know what, I'm going to the other cell phone company, the other cell provider. I'm going to jump from, and which I'm actually going to do this, I'm going to be moving from AT&T to Verizon, because AT&T blows. At least here. There's no reception here.
AT&T, yeah. AT&T is traditionally a really crap company.
Right.
When it comes to, I mean, that's a running gag when it comes to cell phone service. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the crappy thing is, like, Verizon works really well in a lot of parts of LA. Where I am, though, my apartment is, you know, I'm in the valley. I mean, my apartment's a bunker. Yeah. I have to go outside if I want to make a phone call and be able to stay online for any length of time. If I get put on hold, I have to basically go sit by the pool or something.
Yeah.
Because if I stay here, it's going to go out, and I'm going to get an X. We're no service. So it's, you know, that's the way it's going to be for a good 60 seconds.
Okay, yeah. I can be sitting at my desk in my house, which is above the town, and have one bar. I could be standing in the middle of a vacant lava field miles away from the nearest road and have literally five bars.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing.
It's really unbelievable. But the fact of the matter is there's competition. You can go to the other provider if you're sick of it. You can't do that with cable. You can you can have DirecTV, but where are you going to get your internet? So then you've got DirecTV or you've got Dish Network or something, and then you're buying your internet from someone else. You still have to go to the cable company for the internet. So, I mean, this is one of those things that absolutely has got to change. And I don't know what it's like in California right now, but in Hawaii, we also have one power company. Hmm. We can't shop around for the cheapest electricity.
We have DWP here.
Consequently, I'm paying 35 cents per kilowatt hour.
Of course, you know, we'll be strangled by Enron.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we won't anymore. But yeah, I mean, there was a time out here during, you know, 2001. When that was the big thing. We were being strangled. You know, we had rolling blackouts. We were a third world country out here because we were being strangled by Enron, who was basically buying up electricity.
This is something. Here's what I think needs to happen with electricity in the United States. I think the government needs to rent everyone's rooftop and have solar panels installed on those rooftops. If not the houses themselves, all of the industrial buildings, shopping malls, department stores, all of those vacant rooftops ought to be filled with solar panels.
Right.
And then all of that electricity gets used by the people. Call me insane, but you know, it's getting to the point of being absolutely ridiculous. I live in one of the sunniest, warmest states in the United States. And hardly anyone has solar panels here, and we're paying literally 35 cents per kilowatt hour. I mean, it's remarkable.
Mm.
My usual electricity bill is anywhere between $200 and $250 a month.
That's insane. That's a lot.
It is really insane. We don't have central air conditioning. I basically run one computer during the day. Maybe a fan is running, you know, most of the time. But it's frustrating. And there's nowhere else to go. You can't go to the other electricity provider because there isn't one.
It's been a really good summer for me out here because it's actually been a really cool summer. Mm. It has not been hot at all, which is weird. So, yeah, I mean, I sit here all day or when I'm working or whatever the hell it is that I'm doing, and, yeah, I'm not using all that much power. I tend to, you know, there are times that I put the AC on at night because I like it really cold, but that's it.
Okay, well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week, so we're going to take a break, restart, and kick off the show. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
Ah, you hit the post.
All ends with beginnings.
I do my best.
What keeps the planet spinning?
The force from the beginning. Yeah, if you missed the Colbert Report last night.
Brilliant. Sincerely one of the very best things he's ever done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had no idea that was coming. See, now that's taking lemons and making lemonade. Yeah. Daft Punk backed out, sort of snubbed Colbert in lieu of doing it.
They snubbed them because Van Toffler over at MTV decided to pitch a millennial lingoed hissy fit.
Yeah, that email
was great. His little millennial lingo, that douche.
Yeah, it was the head of MTV used the word peeps in an email.
Yeah, my peeps aren't feeling the funk or something like that.
So, you know, Colbert's been hyping this thing all summer long about the song of the summer and everything, and getting Daft Punk for the show to perform Get Lucky, and they snubbed him. And so what he did was maybe the best thing he's ever done on that show. And he's done a lot of great things. He did this whole thing to that song from beginning to end, the entire song, did this dance routine where he started dancing himself, and then he goes off stage, backstage, and he starts dancing with, there's Hugh Laurie there, and they start dancing, and then they're in the stairwell, and it's Colbert dancing with Jeff Bridges on the stairwell to this song, and then he's with cheerleaders doing these high kicks and doing this whole choreographed dance routine in this
Bryan
gymnasium. Bryan Cranston doing roller derby
and Matt Damon,
yeah, or roller disco. And then Matt Damon, and then, oh my God, Henry Kissinger. Suddenly, Colbert pops out of Henry Kissinger's office closet and starts dancing around the real Henry Kissinger. And then Kissinger picks up the phone and says, "Security."
No, it was a great bit. I mean, it was. And you know, even the lead up to the bit where he's reading the email was brilliant, because it always goes to show. It's like, I'm not comparing myself to Colbert, but I used to do that kind of thing all the time when I was in radio. If I found out that management ever had something to say to me that, you know, or had something to say about me, you know, especially if it was like an internal memo or something that had to do with me, the very first thing that I would do is I would get a hold of it and I would read it on the air, and I would be a complete ass about it. Yeah. It's like when you screw over somebody who is a smart ass who has an audience, that person, that's an idiot thing to do. That person is absolutely going to respond.
Sure. And would you do this when in a paid radio gig? Really? Or was it like college radio?
I would. Yeah, I was both, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I used to get, I read every time the board, especially when I was in college, every time the board would discuss, quote unquote, the Chez situation, I would raid the file cabinet and like basically take their, you know, take all those papers and read them on the air.
The Chez situation.
Yeah, the Chez situation. That's what they used to go. It's hilarious.
All right, let's talk
about...
We
have to talk about the Chez situation.
The Chez situation.
That's the name of my new band, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. I think we found the name of the show this week. The Washington Post, purchased by Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com. He paid something like three times more than it was actually valued at.
Which is really shocking, because really that's not a lot of money in the great scheme of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is, but...
Well... Here's the thing. I actually see this as kind of a good news item. I'm not bent out of shape over Jeff Bezos buying Washington.
No, I'm kind of not either. I mean, this is just, it's the natural progression. There's nothing really you can do about it. Yeah. So,
I mean, really, it's as a brand, it's going to last forever. Whether or not the print version is going to last forever is a different story.
Right.
But the Washington Post brand is worth something, and you know, it's always a good sign, too, when you see, like, a regular guy, a non-corporate entity buying up some form of media.
That's always been, somebody made the comment, and it's true, that that's one of the best ways to, you know, to run a big city newspaper, which is that, you know, it's essentially kind of a fiefdom for a little bit.
Yeah. So now you can either buy a new copy of the Washington Post for $1.25 or 28 used from one penny.
Very funny.
And, of course, the conspiracy wing nuts are out on this one.
Oh, of course they are.
Almost right away, I was seeing tweets about the Amazon, Bezos, CIA, Washington Post connection.
Oh, dear God.
Yep, that's
just
right.
Make it stop.
And it was from the same, you know, Greenwald type people. In fact, I'll just say specifically, it was Marcy Wheeler.
Oh, of course.
Marcy Wheeler. And then everyone else starts doing it. Yeah. Because Amazon is providing for a sum of money. It's something like $60 million. It's just some huge sum of money. Cloud storage capability for the CIA. I mean, Amazon has a huge cloud storage system. And shock horror, the government often contracts out to private companies. In this case, Amazon.com. But Amazon.com didn't buy the Washington Post. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post. Are you still there?
I am still here,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. See, now I'm panicking. Now, every time I hear silence, I'm thinking the internet's gone down.
There's again. A possibility that if you hear silence, it's because I muted the mic so that I can get my daughter to go sit down and watch Powerpuff Girls.
Right. So, this is a big nothing. This is a big nothing. This doesn't mean that the CIA is now going to be running the Washington Post.
Of course it does, though.
Can we please get a grip? Can we please get a grip, people? Yeah, I wrote on the blog today. I don't even know these people anymore. I still consider myself, we talked about this a little last week, I still consider myself quite liberal. But these people are just entirely off the rails now. Everywhere they look, you know. I listen.
Nothing is to be trusted. Their eyes, their ears, nothing they see or hear is ever to be trusted. Yeah. Ever. There's a hidden agenda and a secret reality to every single thing.
This guy tweeted me today, challenging me as being a new neocon. Someone referred to me on Twitter as a new neocon and provided a YouTube video of this rant that he recorded about fake liberals.
Oh, lovely.
The implication being that I'm a fake liberal. And in there, in amongst this rant, you know what name came up?
The Trilateral Commission.
Raytheon. Yep.
Bechtel.
Bechtel. Raytheon, which of course is one of Alex Jones's shibboleths. As soon as you hear that word, you know that there's some sort of Alex Jones connection. And we're seeing that more and more often. That's what we're going to talk about in the next segment, is this new false flag conspiracy theory regarding the embassy closings.
Oh, God, I swear.
And it's...
You know what? Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Just with everything I'm feeling right now and everything I'm going through, the idea that I have to listen to not you, obviously, but to listen to this horse just offends me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's... I apologize. I know you're going through a really, really hard time, which, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit, maybe at the beginning of the next segment. But, this is getting more and more rampant. There is just a huge, huge schism happening on the left. And unfortunately, we're kind of stuck on one side. And all the crazies, and maybe this is actually good news, are on the other side. I hope they're not speaking for everybody, and I hope that's not the perception that's being heard outside of our circle of political junkies. We got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Hello, are we on?
Yeah, I know.
Just had to stop the show again right before the break. Hopefully it'll all be seamless, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what we're contending with today. You know, I'll get into it after Bubble Genius. Hey, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius, the best bath and body products and soaps that you will ever find. They're woman-owned, independent, liberal. Go to BubbleGenius.com and buy everything there. And if I see you at a big box store, if I see you at Bed Bath and whatever, I'm going to smack you in the throat.
That's like weird.
Advertising by intimidation. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your Bubble Genius promo code is Bob and Chez, BobandChez, for 15% off your entire order. Just pop that promo code right into the promo code area when you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com, and you get a big, big, fat discount exclusively for the listeners of this show. And I really think you ought to be able to sue the cable company. If there's only going to be one cable company providing internet and television, and you lose that internet for a period of time, you ought to be able to sue or get that money returned to you. They ought to reduce the amount of your bill for that month and sort of prorate it based on the amount of uptime there actually is. Yep. And then in our case, we work from home. So we're actually losing business in the process of this. We can't do our jobs when Time Warner, you know, has a hiccup. So there ought to be some sort of compensation for that. But, of course, there can't be. They're a monopoly. They can do whatever the hell they want. They can do whatever the hell they want, like flummox this show. Flummox what we do for a living.
Yeah, when I first got Time Warner, when I first moved here, I honestly, I'm not kidding. I had them out here like 6 or 7 times in a matter of 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything from they screwed up one thing, they had to bring me something else. They accidentally sent me 2 boxes when I asked for like internet service or they were supposed to give me a new internet box or some new router. I mean, it just over and over again, there were problems. And finally, at the end of all of it, I got like a thing in the mail. We'll try and do better with like a $10 off my monthly payment card. $10. Gee, thanks, guys.
Well, at least there's that. I don't get any sort of satisfaction along those lines. And I waste countless hours. I mean, there was the other day, the internet went down. I'm right in the middle of working, right in the middle of writing my column. And so the internet goes down. It's not coming back. It's not coming back at all.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, I'm staring at my modem, waiting for those lights to start flickering, and nothing's happening. So then I get on the phone, and then I go to my cell phone, because what I sometimes will do is use my cell phone and tether it to my computer, so I use the 3G signal as internet.
Right.
And but that's not working either. So then I'm on the phone with AT&T trying to get that squared away.
Huh.
So it's just like, and you just want to rip your hair out because you get into a rhythm. In that case, I was writing my column, and you know how it is. You get started, and you got to keep rolling. You got to keep rolling, or else you lose your train of thought. You lose the impetus to get through to the end. And in this case, I had to just stop and deal with all of this crap and then restart. It's just terrible. It's the worst. They really need to compensate you for that. Something needs to happen. Some sort of legislation. I don't know what. But this has got to end. The cable monopoly has got to end.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, I mean, so all of this is compounded on top of the fact that you lost your ex-brother-in-law the other day. Which, you know, again, my sincerest condolences.
Yeah, which, you know, it's for the ex-brother-in-law. Jesus, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But,
your brother-in-law, your brother-in-law with your ex-wife, I guess it was.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he's, you know, he was... Yeah, I mean, I'd known him since he was 14 years old. He died at 26 of cancer, and somehow when she and I split up, I mean, he and I had been sort of jokey friends for a while. I used to tease him when he was growing up and that kind of thing, and just kind of pick on him a little bit. Never anything terrible. I mean, because he was just a funny, really smart, passionate kid, genius IQ. I mean, incredibly artistic. And as he got older, I mean, somehow he and I don't even know how it happened. He and I got closer and closer and closer. And when she and I split up, we have been very, very close ever since. Very, very close. I mean, not ever since we, you know, but we've stayed, in other words, we've stayed close. Even though his sister and I are not together anymore. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just losing him is like, it's like losing my own brother. And he used to call me that all the time. He's like, you know, I was his brother and he would say, I love you. And I, you know, I love you too, Mike. I mean, just a really terrific guy and honestly a genius and was going to do, you know, he was a sound engineer that got nominated for a National Emmy this year for a PBS documentary he did. I mean, his career was taking off. He was going to do amazing things. And now this. So, yeah, he spent basically the past 2 years waging this very, you know, they use the term valiant fight a lot, but it's true. I mean, it really, I don't know how the hell he did it. I would have given up a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Waging
yeah.
this brutal war against, you know, against something that really, I would have just said, screw it, I'm tired of this. I don't care anymore.
And right in his prime, like right in his mid-20s.
Yeah, and that's, right in his mid-20s. And the sad thing is, you know, I mean, he lost 2 years. Yeah. You know, he had 2 years fighting it where he really wasn't able to do much of anything. He could work a little bit during remission time and, you know, do one or two things. But overall, it's like his life just stopped when he was 24. And it just, you know, whenever you hear about somebody dying of cancer or somebody dying young, you always hear, you know, unfair, unfair. But I mean, I there's never in my life have I ever seen anything more unfair, completely unfair.
Oh, yeah.
He did nothing to anybody ever. Nothing wrong. I mean, if you didn't love him, there was something wrong with you. Nothing wrong. One of the most innocent people I've ever met.
And he was able to endure, as you said, 2 years. Of this illness, not knowing how it was going to turn out.
A really good attitude and an incredible sense of humor about it. Every time I talked to him, he would still call me with like, hey, man, you like the newsroom? You know, or hey, you know, just how fast do you think? I mean, like ridiculous questions. I would answer the phone and that's what I'd get. Or I'd get texts from him. Yeah. You know, and I'd ask him, you know, after a while, it's funny. It's like he'd ask me an insane question on Facebook Messenger and I'd just write back. I'm like, you're on morphine, aren't you? He's like, oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. You know, I put myself into that situation if I had cancer, and I believe that I would not be able to function at all. I wouldn't be able to do a goddamn thing. I would just be completely focused on the fact that I was sick and feeling sorry for myself. And
oh, I'd be miserable. You know, yeah. I've always lived by the. I'm so glad when I heard Louis C.K. put it into perfect words. I have only enough courage for a perfect life. I would, if you know, anything goes wrong in my life and I'm a wreck, and God knows so much has gone wrong, and a lot of it's my own doing, some of it absolutely was not, but yeah, you know, I mean, if I were one of those guys who wound up, you know, wheelchair or somebody Boston Marathon, one of those Boston Marathon bombing victims, or yeah, somebody had to fight leukemia or something. I would just be like, you know what, just give me a gun and leave me be, and I'm just going to end this. It's easier.
Yeah, I would be right there behind you, man. Because just thinking about the process of going into going into remission and then relapsing again.
Yeah.
It's just got to be soul crushing.
Yeah, and the up and down of never knowing what's, you know, and this is the really crappy thing is that towards the end, he started really feeling good. I mean, I was happy because, you know, I'm 3,000 miles away, but, you know, I was listening to him listen, you know, really look toward his future. You know, like get, all right, I got the company going again, you know, my own company for production, and I've got this to, and I'm ready to move back to New York. And, you know, I mean, all of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, just, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, you know, he calls and I'm just like, you know, I'm like, how are you feeling, man? And then he says, I'm a little nauseous. So I'm like, oh, okay. So it's, you know, it's Friday. You know, it's another day.
Yeah.
And you know, he just says, look, he's like, I've got some news. And I'm like, what? He's like, I'm terminal. And I don't know. And it's just, It's a shotgun slug to the chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cried my ass. I've been doing more crying this past week than I've ever done. I mean, I wrote that piece for the blog and just I bawled through half of it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. Well, good luck this weekend. I know you're flying back east for the funeral and, you know, take care. Take it easy.
Yeah. You know, again, Jane's family has been very, very good to me since our breakup. And we were obviously was great before. I mean, they've always been very inclusive. And Michael apparently was like, I mean, even now they've been very inclusive. But Michael was apparently very specific about, look, never lose touch with him. He is always a member of this family. That was one of sort of his last requests, which I'm honored. And I still to this day don't know exactly where it comes from, where how we became so close. I'm baffled by it.
Yeah, you just have a connection with people. I mean, there's certain people you just click with.
Yeah, I love that kid. It's the biggest shame I can imagine. If you ask me who's the one person who in my life who genuinely, like, who's the worst person, you know, not so much the thing I would, you know, like obviously my mother or father or, you know, my daughter or something like that, that would be one thing. But I mean, the person who really deserves, other than a child, who deserves to have the best of everything and who deserves least to suffer through something like this, I would have said in a heartbeat, Michael. Mm-hmm. And Michael's the person who, him being gone, is the one of the biggest detriments to society I can think of.
Yeah. We do have to take one last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay.
Who the hell is this?
Peter Gabriel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Digging in the dirt.
Once the vocals come in, I haven't heard Peter Gabriel. I haven't listened to Peter Gabriel in so long.
This is, you know, speaking about radio, that song, that Peter Gabriel song, the first song I ever played on the radio.
Wow.
My very first show. My very first show in college. So anyway, let's continue. I mean, we were way late for that break, so this last segment's going to be a little abbreviated, but that's okay. What do we want to talk about next? God.
Something involving Greenwald, I'm sure.
Something involving Greenwald, of course.
You said before the show or during the beginning of the show, that 8 years ago when the show started, he had said he had some new lie. What the hell would that be?
Oh, yeah. Time? Well, the new lie, I mean, we'll talk about the lie and then we'll get into the conspiracy theory. The lie is that the United States evidently throws whistleblowers in a cage for decades.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because Bradley Manning was tortured.
Yeah. Yeah. But not for decades. And he was just thrown in the same brig that everyone else is thrown into when they're in, you know, pretrial custody.
Right.
That was at Quantico, which has now been closed. It doesn't even exist anymore. But it was a standard single cell. And you know, the thing about that is, and I don't want to get off on Bradley Manning, but if someone asked me, would you rather share a cell or would you rather have your own cell? I would absolutely choose my own cell.
Yeah, I mean, they say that obviously solitary confinement can be a real. I mean, it will make you insane. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't. Obviously, I wouldn't. Well, I'd prefer neither. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, given the choice, I'd rather have the Shawshank Redemption cell.
I don't think it would be the same as. I could be wrong, but I don't think it would be the same as, you know, the Emerald City in Oz.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Oz. If you've seen Oz, you do not want to share a cell with anybody.
Right, yeah, where, you know, where you're being raped by Adebisi or whatever.
No way, not a chance in hell. But I mean, that doesn't.
Or you know, I guess if you're, you know, if you go that way, I guess being. It's Chris Maloney in his prime, you know.
All right, but that aside, we do not throw whistleblowers in a cage for decades. There hasn't been a single whistleblower yet who's been sentenced to decades in prison because of leaking classified information. Not one.
It's just Greenwald hyperbole. That's all it is.
But, I mean, if it was hyperbole, he would say, we throw them in cages. Full stop. He would say, we throw them in cages for decades. That is just, it is entirely dishonest to say that. And then, of course, everyone takes him at his word and then repeats it over and over again. So I see this in my timeline all the time. Throw in cages for decades. But the longest sentence that we've seen during this alleged war on whistleblowers has been 30 months. The shortest one is a year of probation. Hardly a war on whistleblowers, on top of the other stuff that the Obama administration has
done. Well, I mean, you know, what makes that, what sets that up is the assumption, the presumption on the part of Greenwald and his acolytes that Bradley Manning is a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which he's not.
Right. That's their jumping off point. Bradley Manning is a whistleblower, and oh, look what horrible things we did to him. We convicted him of, you know, espionage, or not espionage, but, you know, we convicted him of basically selling off secrets, not selling.
Well, to categorically label every leaker a whistleblower. Right. Just to say everyone who leaks classified information is a whistleblower does a great disservice, a great disrespect to actual whistleblowers. People who do the right thing, go through the right channels, stick with the law. They maintain some sort of constraint in what they're detailing, whether it's to the press or whether it's to a superior or what have you. You know, there's a way to do this and there's a way not to do it. And the way Bradley Manning did it was right. Wrong.
And they make their own ethical standing unimpeachable.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So, no, we don't throw them in cages for decades. Now we have this new thing. This is the next conspiracy theory that we're hearing from this crowd that's bringing them closer and closer to sort of Alex Jones territory.
They're not closer. They're there. They're absolutely there.
Yeah. So the thing is that this all of these embassy closings are all a false flag to distract from Glenn Greenwald's NSA reporting.
Right.
I mean, the narcissism that is required to say that the United States of America is going to close 25 embassies and consulates because of your specific reporting. It is
amazing. It really is.
25 diplomatic facilities closed. Some of them were reopened. Others, the closure was extended. And it's all to rub Greenwald's nose and crap.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely stunning.
No, it's just awful. It's just awfulness.
Yeah. And then of course he's using this this embassy closure situation as another way to shame and scold Democrats who do see some validity in what the administration is doing by, you know, erring on the side of caution, considering what happened almost a year ago in Benghazi.
Right. Well, that's the amazing thing. The thing about this crap about closing the embassies and the conspiracy theory that goes along with it, what's shocking about that is I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of a time when a better example of Obama not, or any president really, not being able to win. Mm-hmm. You can't win.
Yeah.
If you close the embassies, these idiots on the left say that it's false flag and they come up with these insane conspiracy theories about that. Yeah. If you don't and there's an attack, the right will drag you through the ringer.
Right. Now, yeah, see, I mean,
this is why, and by the way, I think that the center these days is a pretty wide swath.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. I think that the center for me is, you know, encompasses quite a bit of space. But those far ends, you know, the left and the right, screw them both.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's getting to that place. It's getting to that place where there's really very little distinction between the MO of the far left and the MO of the far right. And I'm using far left to kind of group together this mindset, because again, just to repeat, I consider myself pretty far left, but I'm far more pragmatic than all of these people. You know,
no, I agree.
But nevertheless, I mean, here you have on the far right people who think the president's an Al-Qaeda sleeper cell who's mm-hmm. racist against white people. While the Greenwald neo-libertarian left thinks he's a bloodthirsty racist against Muslims, who's using that racism as fuel to kill or indefinitely detain as many as he can.
I'm really going to be very curious with, you know, with the the kind of sort of mass media hysteria that we have now, with so many people having, you know, with Twitter being such a wonderful tool for not just information but disinformation, mm-hmm. and for people to sort of splinter off and create their own little niche groups of like insanity. I'm really going to be curious. You know, that's been a phenomenon that really sort of took off right around the time of the Obama presidency. So mm-hmm. once Obama's out of office, I want to see, that's going to be the true test of how much of this has to do with race.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see, I want to see whoever the next president, especially if it happens to be Hillary Clinton or a Democrat, I'm going to be very curious to see what the response will be to him or her.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it'll be utterly fascinating. In fact, you know,
because I think this will continue. I do. I think that race plays, especially from the right, race plays a massive role in why they hate Barack Obama. But I think that the insanity period is not going to stop. I think this is the new normal.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're going to go after Hillary maybe even more loudly than they've gone after Obama. Because, I mean, she's more centrist. She's far more moderate than Barack Obama.
Right.
She is much more of a realist than Barack Obama. Okay, she's much more of a sort of a DLC triangulator than Barack Obama. Yeah.
And I used to hate that, but I'll tell you something. I've come to, well, it's one of the reasons I voted for Obama in 2008. But I'll tell you something. I've come to detest the left mm-hmm. so much that I'm very much like, you know what? Bring on Hillary. Bring on somebody who's more centrist. I'm That's good right. with that. Yeah. I got no issue with that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and she's going to be, if she is deciding to run and she does, in fact, win, I think she'll be a solid president.
Oh, I think so.
Because, I mean look, all I'm, indications I'm, lead that into, everything we know about her, everything that she's done, whether as Secretary of State or as a senator.
Right. I'm one of those people. I think that she would be a fantastic president, but I'm one of those people who's absolutely like, I hate anyone talking about her for president right now.
Yeah.
It's true. Enough.
Yeah, we just don't know. It's so unclear at this point.
Anything
what the hell's going to happen?
Yeah. Literally, as I've said, during the Romney, the Obama and Romney race, anything can happen, and it can change the narrative in a heartbeat. You have no idea what you don't know what's going to happen. I kid you not. Two news cycles from now, which in these days is like 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so, we have no indication whatsoever whether she's even going
to
run.
Yeah, to make any assumptions at all about what's going to happen in 2016 is ridiculous.
It's so far off. I mean, I was just reading that Iowa caucus story. You know, the Iowa caucus was just a year and a half ago.
Jesus.
I mean, really? And we're already talking about 2016. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. I'm right. I'm there among the people you hate because I've been speculating too. But, that's just what I do.
No, I'm not. I mean,
I am realistic.
I think
about
you can look at it and say there are probably people involved in politics right now who will run. There's nothing wrong with that. But to make any sort of supposedly educated guess on, this person is going to be a real front runner. You don't know anything.
No, that's true.
Jesus Christ, the immortal words of William Goldman, nobody knows nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely right. So we've actually arrived at the end of the show, remarkably. It's taken about 4 hours to record 55 minutes of radio material. And I did want to mention, too, that regarding that conspiracy theory, Cenk was on it. Cenk said on his show, Obama is going the full Bush using the
dirt. Wow, the full Bush. That's kind of interesting.
The
like
full
that.
Bush using the dirtiest trick.
How does he know my favorite website?
And then as I wrote on the Daily Banter that both Glenn Beck and Alex Jones were each saying the same thing. The president,
he's in spectacular company.
Yeah. The president closed 25 different diplomatic posts just to distract from Glenn Greenwald. It's really so remarkable. Well, there are a few things we didn't get to on this show, which we're going to bump over to the after party. This Week in Guns, This Week in Wingnuts. In fact, we haven't talked about a lot of the Wingnuts I meant to talk about. We did talk about Glenn Greenwald, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck. But there's still more. Steve Stockman, Ted Yoho, Rick Santorum.
How fascinating is that, that you can now lump Glenn Greenwald in with Wingnuts?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm not going to distinguish between the two. Other than to say that one's far right, one's far left, but they're still Wingnuts. They still have the same MO. It's like, use whatever propaganda you can get your hands on. Any thin crust of something, and then exploit it for all it's worth. Beat it like a dead horse. Beat it like a cheap drum. So we also, for the after party, can talk about Food Network Star. We're going to talk about the next Batman. A crazy new headset that makes your brain work better. Plus a lot more. Maybe awesome. some audio from the president's appearance on Leno the other night. It was really good. They talked about NSA stuff. And really, he's a thoughtful, smart president. Call me an Obama bot, but that's the truth. You can't deny it. Hey, that's it for the show. See you next week. Bye.